supporting WHYY Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
The Trump administration proposed budget pares back funding for several science-based government agencies, including NASA. Let's look at implications with Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. Derek, what corners are being cut?
Well, the first corners that are being cut are programs like the Asteroid Redirect Mission, some Earth observation programs, and the Office of Education. NASA's Office of Education will be eliminated from this budget.
So let's take them in turn. What was the focus of the asteroid project?
So the focus of the Asteroid Redirect Mission was for NASA to gain experience with deeper space missions by going out and pulling an asteroid from beyond the orbit of Mars in towards cislunar space, the environment of space around the moon, bring this object into a lunar orbit so that astronauts could practice working on an asteroid surface in space as part of the development of techniques for being able to go on to Mars and farther out into the solar system.
What is the education component that's being cut back?
NASA's Office of Education is the interface between all of the NASA science that goes on across all of its missions, both space and aviation, and the education community. And so by eliminating the Office of Education, this very, very critical connector piece is lost. And so if you consider that part of NASA's mission is to educate our youth about space programs, space exploration, and the use of space for the benefits of Earth, then not being able to have that is a real loss.
What information in turn is being lost if we cut back on the Earth observing missions?
This is a really serious one because without the Earth orbiting platform that we've been able to make use of over the last several decades for Earth observation, we would not have as good an understanding of the interconnected nature of all of the Earth's environments. That allows us to not only gather data, but to keep a critical eye on what changes in the environment are happening, both in the ocean, on the surface, and in the atmosphere.
It's a fundamental law of physics. For every action, there is an opposite and equal reaction. And apparently, scientists are gathering to make their voices heard on this upcoming Earth Day next month.
It's really critical that this happen because what we've seen essentially amounts to like an attack on science in the United States. And that's a very, very serious thing. If we look at what this country is built on, one of the things it's built on is its tremendous capability in science and technology. So without the objective view that scientists provide of how science is available to help us or can be used to help us, then we lose something really critical about our country's stance in the world. So what's really important is that scientists have an opportunity to voice the importance of science, to have the latitude that they need in order to provide objective observation of what's happening in our Earth's environment, and to use that information to be able to identify critical problems and how to solve those problems that are coming for future generations is something that we absolutely can't be without. We can't live without that. In fact, science doesn't really care if we believe what's going on. It is what it is. And we can either choose to make use of the observations that we make of what's going on around us to try to mitigate some of the problems that are coming our way, or the Earth will simply pass us by, because the Earth will manage to survive and correct whatever problems man creates in the long run. And we have a choice. We can choose to be here and try to push things in a direction that will be beneficial to us, or the Earth will fix it without us, and the Earth will last, and we will not.
We can cite the inspirational work of deep-pocketed entrepreneurs like Elon Musk or Richard Branson, but they, too, had to benefit from what preceded them. They benefited from all the work that NASA provided. Though apparently, if you're a friend of Richard Branson, you don't even have to pony up the money to go into outer space.
Dr. Stephen Hawking has said that the great joys of his life are his three children, but what would really make him happy is if he could go visit space. And Richard Branson has offered a free trip to Dr. Hawking to visit space on the space system that he's developing, the Virgin Galactic spacecraft that will have access to low Earth orbit.
Of course, you don't need NASA or Richard Branson to step out of doors and learn what's available to be seen in the night sky. With clear skies, what's on hand this week?
Lots of great happenings going on. You know, Venus has been prominent in the evening sky for the last several months, but we say goodbye to Venus because it's now gone from the evening sky and for observing until next year. But wait, hello, Venus. It's back again in 2 weeks, in just 10 days. It becomes visible over on the pre-dawn side of the sky in the morning before sunrise, 5:45 in the morning. We can see Venus brilliantly, and its distance from the sun will increase as we move further into the spring and into the summer. So it will gain altitude and become brighter as we see it in the sky in the morning. So you can take a shot for that.
Thanks, Derek.
My pleasure, Dave.
Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. He joins us each week at this time on Newsworks Tonight.